Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden History of Texas, episode 47, Mexican and Anglo Relations. I'm your host and guide, Hank Wilson, and as always, brought to you by Ashby, Navis, and Tennyson Media Publishers, producers of a comprehensive catalog of audiobooks and high-quality games, productivity, and mental health apps. Visit ashbynavis.com for more information. Relations between the Anglo settlers and the Mexicans, or the Tejanos. Now, Tejanos, for those of you who aren't familiar with the phrase, are those of Mexican or Spanish descent who were born in Texas, either when it was a province of Mexico or as a republic, and even today as a state. Now, relations have almost always been strained. The Anglo settlers who immigrated into Texas were primarily from the South, and as such, they carried with them all of their innate prejudices. Now, while some of the earliest settlers did learn to adapt to a Spanish way of life and Spanish culture, and to live in peace with their Mexican neighbors, many of the newcomers had no such desire. One area of conflict concerned itself with the issue of slavery. Mexico began to restrict slavery during the 1820s, and finally completely outlawed it in 1829. However, at that time, the Mexican government exempted Texas from this law in order to appease Anglos. Now, initially, that didn't seem very important because it's estimated that in 1825, there were only about 400 slaves in Texas. However, by 1835, and the real beginning of the battle for Texas independence, it's believed that there were more than 5,000 slaves in the region. In 1836, after Texas won the Battle of San Jacinto and claimed to be an independent republic, there was still trouble because there was no formal treaty solidifying Texas status as an independent. Mexico refused to recognize Texas independence and considered it as a rebellious territory. The Mexican government believed that Santa Anna had no legal authority to sign the Treaty of Velasco while a prisoner, and that the Mexican government had no obligation to honor the agreements. Now, because of that, there was a very real fear that Mexico would invade and try to take Texas back. Then, when in 1837 Mexico abolished slavery, this time without any exceptions, the Anglo residents of Texas began to fear that their slaves would start to side with Mexico in any type of dispute. And since many of the Anglos already distrusted the Mexican people in the state, as the Texas Republic took shape, officials placed more and more obstacles before the non-Anglo population. For example, in the world of politics, Anglo leaders excluded Tejanos from almost every type of meaningful political participation. For example, Juan Seguin, one of the most influential Tejano political leaders, an Alamo defender, and who had played an important role in the development of the Republic, and who fought for and stood side by side with those opposing Mexico and Santa Anna, was forced to flee to Mexico after a white mob chased him out of San Antonio. When it came to education, well, Texas wasn't big on public schools as a way of ensuring equality. Well, in fact, we still aren't, but that's another podcast at another time. In fact, from 1836 to 1900, private individuals, such as the Catholic Church, Protestant groups, and public officials, all regarded schools as critical to preserving the social order. They saw them not only or not so much as ways to increase literacy, but also as vehicles to perpetuate existing class, sex, and ethnic roles. After Texas became a state, Mexican children often had no access to public schools. As the decades passed, that began to slowly change, and by the 1880s, the children did increasingly have access to rural schools. By the 1890s, Mexican working-class children in urban areas were admitted to city schools. In both cases, access was limited to segregated classes in the elementary grades. No secondary or post-secondary facilities were available to them. Only the children of wealthy families attended colleges and universities. The decision to segregate elementary schools in Texas was due to racial prejudice, residential location, and lack of a Mexican-American voice in school affairs. As it was with the majority of educational programs taught in the United States at that time, Anglo heritage was the most heavily promoted and taught. Now, after independence and Texas adopted a constitution, there was actually a clause inserted that made it difficult for Mexicans and even original Tejanos to have any rights. The Texas Constitution denied citizenship and property rights to anyone who didn't support the revolution, which was assumed to include all people of Hispanic ancestry. As a result of this type of discrimination, many Tejanos lost their line, with squatters quickly taking over their properties, and they had no legal recourse for their families. So, what was at the heart of these types of injustice? Well, as I mentioned, many of the early Anglo citizens of Texas were from the South, and they carried their prejudices with them. Another factor that contributed to the problems was that from 1845 to 1865, America operated under the concept of manifest destiny, as put forth by John L. O'Sullivan, when in 1845 he wrote, "The fulfillment of our manifest destiny to overspread the continent allotted by Providence for the free development of our yearly multiplying millions." Originally written as a defense in the argument for admitting Texas into the Union, the article had a negative effect on those who fell outside of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant group. By 1850, one outgrowth of this belief was the birth of a secretive society known as the American Order. The group stood firmly against Catholics, foreigners, and supported restrictions on immigration. They came to be known as the National American Party, or more commonly labeled, the Know-Nothing Political Party. In Texas, they were known as the American Party, and as a whole, they argued that any foreign-born citizen be barred from voting or holding public office. In Texas, the party was anti-Mexican, pro-slavery, and they pledged to vote only for native-born Protestants for public office. Anglo residents of Texas, especially those who belonged to the Know-Nothings, held deep-seated racial and ethnic animosity towards Mexicans. This stemmed in part from the recent Mexican-American War and the feeling that the Mexican population supported anti-slavery forces. In 1855, the tension between Anglo and Mexican Texans exploded in what came to be known as the Cart War. In the mid-1850s, Mexicans and Tejanos had built thriving businesses bringing food and other supplies from the Gulf Coast to San Antonio. By using ox carts, they were able to move more freight faster than their Anglo counterparts. The Anglos, already resentful of having to share territory with the Mexican drivers, began to wreck carts, steal merchandise, and in several cases, murder the drivers. Things came to a head in 1857 when the violence became so prevalent with no reaction from local authorities that many felt that a campaign of death against Mexicans was underway. It was only resolved when the then Texas governor, Elijah M. Pease, urged the legislature to create a militia to intercede. The violence was curtailed, but the Anglo citizens of Kearns County wanted the Mexicans to be run out of business, and resented having armed forces escorting the Mexican cart drivers. Now, sadly, here in 2024, we still see many of the same issues that strained relations between the Anglo power structure and various minority communities. We still have people trying to teach only one side of the story, and in my opinion, that's a major disservice to everyone. Now, that's going to do it for this episode. Next episode, I'll talk about something that might make folks even a little bit a tad more uncomfortable. That's where I want to take a closer look at the whole slavery issue. Please subscribe to the podcast. I'm back. I'm going to keep posting new episodes. Sometimes, though, life does get in the way, which is why there was a gap between episodes. If you want more information on Texas history, visit the website of the Texas State Historical Association. I also have 4 audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas. The Spanish Bump into Texas, 1530s to 1820s. Here Come the Anglos, 1820s to 1830s. Years of Revolution, 1830 to 1836. And my latest, A Failing Republic Becomes a State, 1836 to 1850. You can find the books pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. Just do a search for The Hidden History of Texas by me, Hank Wilson, and they'll pop right up. Or visit my website, HTTPS, well, that's just arctx.org, arctx.org. And by the way, if you like audiobooks, don't forget my publisher, Ashby Navis & Tennyson. Their website, we have an incredible selection of audiobooks there. In addition to mine, you're going to find classics, horror, science fiction, mental health, and so much more. Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks for listening, y'all. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye and peace.